Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey. I'm in Peoria, Arizona. My boss, Jay Posner, back there in San Diego. We just switched screens. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. You're out of the media room because I know they're playing tonight. People watching on Facebook here are getting to enjoy one of your last, what, 3 or 4 days in the palatial Peoria suite where you've been ensconced for the last, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? What are we up to now?
5 weeks. When I'm all done, it'll be 37 nights. And I know that because I just got the hotel bill for the first 30. As much as I've stayed in hotels, I've never been in one for longer than 30 days. I didn't realize they send you a bill, you know, after 30. They're not willing to like trust your credit card past 30 days, evidently. So
I was actually in one when we were redoing our house. I was in one for 55 straight nights. I want to say we actually got billed. We might have gotten billed each week. I think you must be more trustworthy than my wife and I.
It's the corporate Amex that does it. Now, I bet you that your place, let's do this. Listen, I bet your place was bigger than this. All right, here's my living room. Okay, are we seeing my living room?
I'm seeing a couch. And then
here's my bedroom.
Yep.
Okay, all right. And, you know, there's the restroom. Nice shower. Water gets all over the floor. And then there's my kitchen. Right there. Don't spend a whole lot of time here, but and I'll tell you, it's plenty.
Whipping up some fancy meals there for you?
Are you kidding? Well, I would show you, but now I'm pretty much down because I've only got a few days left. I'm down to basically oatmeal and granola. I'd show you the refrigerator, but it's yogurt. That's about it.
So it's not like when Sanders was down there and you were whipping up gourmet meals for the two of you to keep him out of In-N-Out and Del Taco.
As you know, Jay, I go out a little bit
I've seen your expense accounts.
So like, wings. I did my expense account last week. I had to face a hard truth about myself. I've actually eaten pretty well. I want you to know that my side is always broccoli. There was a point where 5 straight meals were at Cracker Barrel. and I needed to reevaluate where I was going with my life.
Absolutely.
So here we are. It is Friday as we tape this, and we're 6 days before opening day, and we'll have another pod before then as we preview the season and the Diamondback series that'll start that four at Petco Park. Jay, I think the big story for the Padres here in the last few days, I mean, I could, you know, wax poetic about the bench spot that I've been so enthralled with, but it's really injuries and who's going to be ready. And it starts in the bullpen. And there are some other things, but I think that the best way to maybe get into that is maybe go down the roster. I mean, what do you think? We go position by position?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. I mean, I think we know who's going to be in the outfield, or a couple positions, I guess. You want to start out there?
We know that it's left to right, Pham, Grisham, and there we go. Okay, I can stop on the first injury.
Exactly.
Trent Grisham has been trending toward being in games, and I would be surprised if he's not by, say, Sunday. Give him a couple days, Sunday, Monday. He's been tracking pitches for over a week. Strain to that hamstring came out on March 11th. They have I'm not sure they would have gone much faster in the season. Unless it was like the end of the season, but right. they've slow played it obviously and smartly, a long way to go. And if he were to miss a game or two, which I don't think is going to happen with Trent Grisham, then I think that would be okay. They do have a few outfielders. So Trent Grisham in center, Will Myers in right.
The one thing about Grisham is obviously I would not think that he would be in the lineup for like 7 straight. I think they play 7 straight before that one off day. You'd have to think that he would miss maybe 1 or 2 of those games. You wouldn't, I mean, would you just go? I don't think I would go with him every day, right?
It'll be a question I ask. On the other hand, that they have slow played him. And if he is 100% at this point, then maybe they do. But I think that you're probably right that they don't. There's really not a reason to do that. there are, as we've heard many times, 162 games in this season.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point, and it's on my list.
And if he doesn't play, are we looking at Tommy Pham in center and Profar in left, or are we looking at Profar in center or Jorge Mateo in center? What do you think is most likely, or are all of those options?
So I do think that Jorge Mateo will be the last bench spot, and I'll tell you why it's the last in a little bit once we get to the infield. To your question, I think as difficult as it may have been for us to all believe at the beginning of spring that Tommy Pham would be the center fielder, they like the he's obviously got the speed. He might not be the fielder that Jurickson Profar is. He might not have Jurickson Profar's arm for that matter, though I can tell you from watching practice Tommy Pham's arm is back. He has made some really good throws, and he really gets that body behind it. And whereas I would have been like last year, are you kidding me? Put me out in center, and I got a tennis shoulder. But Tommy Pham, I believe they love the way that he directs the outfielders. The guy just, you know, bleeds baseball, and they think that that's where he will play. So then I think you'd have Profar in left, which he showed last year can be pretty darn good over there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how it would be. And then we get into the infield. Ha-Sung Kim's going to make the team. There really hasn't been any doubt about that the whole time. And I've written about it quite a bit. We've talked about it here. What your eyes tell you is he's not ready to play on a championship contender in the major leagues. They're giving him $7 million a year. They do see things that they like. Mm-hmm. The other day I saw him hit a 93 mile an hour fastball for a single. I can't tell you for sure that that was the hardest pitch that he's actually made good contact on, but it may well have been. He didn't see too many pitches even that fast, which is slow in the major leagues, right. In the KBO. So, I mean, there's a lot of work for him to do, but there's a lot of promise there. And no matter what they say, let's not forget they're paying him $7 million bucks. And his contract says, a lot of people think he can't be sent to the minors. His contract says he makes big league bucks in the minors. It's not that he can't be sent to the minors, right. But they would be paying him that to be at the alternate site and then in AAA. And he may well end up being there. This is a championship contender, we hear, and you know, we see. Mm-hmm. So at some point, they may have to make a decision, but Ha-Sung Kim's going to make the roster. If you're this far into the Hot Lava podcast, you know who the infielders are. Do we really have to say who the four starting infielders are?
Right.
We get to the interesting part. It's the catchers. Now, I thought Jeff Sanders did a magnificent job on his roster the other day. And it's online at SDUT. Isn't that what it's called? No, it's Union Trib, isn't it? It's UnionTrib.com.
San Diego UnionTribune.com.
Are we going to write all that to get there? I just need to get the link at the top. Well, here, make a bookmark like I have, people.
Yeah.
So that's
hopefully everyone who's on this is already a regular on the website.
So he has Victor Caratini given and Luis Campusano because, you know, through the various reporting that he and I have done, he believed, and it was his roster, that that Austin Nola will not be ready. I tend to agree with him based on the things that Tingler said and the things that other people have said, not on the record, that, you know, they got a long way to go. While the bone is healing, there's nothing wrong with taking a few days to give Austin Nola a chance to get completely healed. And right. I mean, a catcher, for goodness sake, your primary catcher starting the season at less than 100%. It just doesn't make sense because pretty soon he's not going to be at 100%. And it's a battle of, you know, against his body throughout the season. So I tend to think that it will be Victor Caratini and Luis Campusano, maybe a few games, maybe the first homestand.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And how much I haven't looked in at this. How much has Caratini, like, how many games in a row has he played? Has he been a guy who has been a starter for the better part of a week or 2 weeks? Or is he strictly a guy who's been in there one or two games, then he's gone?
One or two games, and then he's gone. Mm-hmm. One time in his career, more than three games, and he went four games that time. So that's it. Okay. And he won't be asked to do that here. Right.
I was going to say three or four games here. Play, you know, he could play the first three, take one off, play the next three. You're not looking at catchers to go every game every week anyway.
They've done it from the start, and you can dismiss a lot of what Jace Tingler says. And I've got a story going on him tomorrow about this guy and his fundamentals and his preparedness. You can dismiss a lot of what he says. He lapses into cliches. A lot of it, you know, as someone who's been doing this for 30 years, you roll your eyes. Is he saying this again? And then he gets you because there's cliches for a reason because they're true. They have made sure that all the catchers have worked with all the pitchers. Mm-hmm. And it has been painful sometimes as Luis Campusano has learned how to, you know, deal with pitchers to know what they want to throw. But Luis Campusano has caught all these guys. And in particular, he's caught Joe Musgrove a few times. And so they've got their catchers as ready as they can be. Mm-hmm. We are a foul tip away from catcher catastrophe. I don't like to use the word catastrophe or disaster with, you know, in sports because they're not really, but catcher catastrophe. Because last night, Victor Caratini took a foul ball off of his throwing hand. And you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, Webster Rivas is a guy who has been hanging around this organization forever. He's a great guy. They love having him working with pitchers in AAA and in spring training. But you were seconds away from Webster Rivas being on the roster for opening day. You know, again, not a disaster over the long haul, but that's not what you want. But Victor Caratini, they did all the tests last night, strength tests and stuff, and he's fine. But that just lets you know the perilous nature of what's happening here, right, when your number one pitcher already has a fractured middle finger on his catching hand. So there's the situation with all of them.
So what's the bench then? We've got Profar on the bench.
Profar, Kim, and Mateo.
And Kim and Campusano. And Mateo, yes, is your last guy. And why is Mateo your last guy?
The extra versatility he gets you, and the speed that he brings you. So Brian O'Grady, both of those guys play all three outfield positions. O'Grady, mm-hmm, then plays first. He's a utility player for a reason, and some of it obviously has to do with offensively, but, you know, a little bit limited defensively. Of course, no slight against him. It's what it is. Not everybody's Manny Machado. And so is Mateo, to be honest with you. But he also plays second, came up as a shortstop. Basically, you could put him anywhere but catcher. Mm-hmm. He's limited as well. A lot of his at-bats. Now, the guy has played more. He leads the team in plate appearances. He's gotten hits off major leaguers, but these numbers are really good, and as they are in spring training, it's against guys who won't be pitching in the majors, at least not for good teams during the season. So, you know, their bench has a potential to be good. You can, you know, if you're here and you're me and you're watching practice and you're watching games and you can get all excited, and then you realize you get past Profar, and right, you know, I mean, you're praying for health, as you are, yeah, on every contender, even the Dodgers. You're praying for health.
And speaking of health, there was obviously a scare earlier this week with the $340 million shortstop. How much of a concern is this given his injury history that we've seen over the past couple of years, and the idea that now we find out, well, he's kind of been dealing with this all along. How much is he dealing with it, and how much of an issue can this be? Is he still a guy that the Padres think can, and we've talked about numbers before, if we both think, I believe, you know, if the Padres could get 140 games out of Tatis in a season, that would, to me, that's a pretty good number. 150 obviously would be fantastic, but I think even 140. What's the feeling about, is this something that could keep him down for a while eventually, or is it just something that he plays through for the next 10, 12 years, or 14 years, I guess I should say.
I'm going to vomit on you in a second, everything I know about the Tatis injury. First, I want to talk to you about this point here, and you just brought up 140, 150 games. You know what the difference in that could be? Are they basically locked into that wild card spot, you know, right, the last 2 months of the season? Right. That could be the difference. And we won't talk about that again until the last 2 months of the season. But like, how much, as these guys are talking, I mean, they punctuate a lot of thoughts with, and we want to play into October. Mm-hmm. So how much of playing time of their stars, and particularly a guy with an issue, right, and Tatis isn't the only one, has to do in August and September with where they're at? Are they fighting for a division title? Wow. Are they locked into a wild card spot? Are they fighting for a wild card spot? That right, could, you know, and then obviously their health. All right. So Fernando Tatis' left shoulder, so non-throwing shoulder, and also his lead shoulder when he's hitting. And so it's not as big of a deal as when he's hitting as when he's, say, reaching across his body for like a backhand, which was what aggravated it on Tuesday. It kind of pops out or shifts. Now, it's not lethal weapon, you know, Mel Gibson banging his shoulder against the wall. It's pops out, pops in, right? Shift is another word that I heard. there's concern. Look, last year I would see him with this protective tape on his shoulder when he's out there. Cause you know how the kids are, and guys like me, buff and everything. We like to wear the cut shirts and stuff when we're out there taking BP. So
kids. Okay, grandpa.
So I saw that. And so I'd ask people, and listen, keep in mind before you make judgment about me not being a dogged reporter, at the time that I'm asking, the guy's got a 1200 OPS and he's like leading the majors in home runs. He's playing every day. He ended up playing 59 of 60 games. And I'm told that it's nothing, right? Got a little thing, you know, whatever, little pains, whatever. Fine. Light bulb on Tuesday. Yep. Okay. You know, and Jace Tingler says this has been a recurring thing. It is something that could at some point, my understanding, get aggravated enough that Fernando Tatis Jr. has to rest for a long time. Or after this season, maybe gets it worked on. Could be a labral issue. At this point, I haven't got anybody to tell me that. These are the things that I'm understanding are possibilities. So it's not something to be terribly alarmed about. But look, I felt before this that you're watching Fernando Tatis Jr., the way he plays, as important as he is to this team, on the field way above everything else, but energy and all that. And you're watching him every time going, all right, buddy, make the play, but stay cool if you're a Padres fan, right? Yep. Stay healthy. You're worried. There he goes, throwing himself around again. And, you know, Jace Tingler said, we have talked to him. We will continue to talk to him. Things like maybe sliding feet first. There's an idea. Now, he has those incredible slides that make him the player he is. It's just, we're going to have to watch it is really the bottom line.
Right.
They're going to have to watch it. And we'll just watch along.
Pitching.
All right, man.
Rotation seems set. Obviously, we're not going to see Denelson Lamet for 2-3 weeks. So
yeah, I think in three.
Okay. So we've got Yu Darvish pitching the opener, Blake Snell pitching the second game.
Lines up.
Musgrove 3 and Paddock 4.
Yep, and it certainly seems Adrian Morahone is the fifth starter.
Right.
Look, he threw 69 pitches the other night. If this kid can do like he did, what was it? It was the last two outs of the first inning. 6 pitches, strikeouts. If this kid cannot fall behind, get to 3 balls every count, wow, that's a really good number 5 starter. That's a capital if at this point.
Right.
22 years old and he hasn't done it yet. And, you know, he was stretched out and that 69 pitches was 3 2/3 innings. Needs to go longer than that. They're already concerned. We've been over this, right, Jay? Stop me if I've said it. Blake Snell is a 5 1/3 inning guy in his history. Can he work up beyond that? Yes, that's the plan. Joe Musgrove threw 40 innings last year, threw 170 innings once. Chris Paddock threw 140 innings in his rookie year. They've got concerns about how long their starting pitchers can go because of the jump from 60 to 162. And in any season, if you've got starting pitchers who aren't regularly giving you quality starts, every once in a while giving you 7-8, okay? And I don't remember the last time the Padres had a complete game. Yes, I do. It was Clayton Richie. But last from the past, you're going to kill your bullpen. And the Padres have – this is a segue. It's called the segue. The Padres have – questions about their bullpen. They have guys with injury histories. They have guys who are injured right now who may or may not be ready for the start of the season. This is the thing for me, the pitching. And you mean pitching's important? This is the real question for the Padres going into a highly anticipated season.
So talk about the bullpen. Who's healthy, who's not?
Well, I gotta say that
sounds like Emilio Pagan is one of the guys that's ready to go.
Emilio Pagan's ready to go. Mark Melancon, Craig Stammen, Ryan Weathers will be on this team, is what I'm hearing from everybody, and that'll likely be again. There is some thought that Adrian Morahone would be best served with you getting 2 to 3 innings out of him. 2 or even 3 times a week. Now, obviously not, you know, 3 innings 3 times a week, but getting length out of the bullpen from Adrian Morahone multiple times would serve the Padres well. But they think that, or the people that I'm talking to who are involved in the conversations believe that Ryan Weathers will fill that role Now, there could be another guy who fills that role, too, if, whether it's they start to stretch out Nabil Chrismat, who I believe will be on this team. Austin Adams threw a live BP. Now, it was 15 pitches. That's it. It was cut there. And looked really good through all his pitches. We need to see him in a game or two. So that means like today and Monday before we know whether Austin Adams can be a part of this bullpen. Keone Kella, heck of a spring. Look, there's a guy with some injury concerns who hasn't thrown a lot, right? I mean, Tim Hill has had a fantastic spring. There are some really good pitchers in this bullpen, but there are some questions because Javi Guerra's not ready, and I'm not sure that he will be. Dan Altavilla has not had a good spring at all. By the way, I just went down and listed for you, and I'm sorry that I didn't get to our producer, John, a graphic quick enough that we could have it up here, but I just went down all the guys who I think are going to be in the bullpen. That leaves the idea that Dan Altavilla and Taylor Williams will be subject to waivers.
Because they have no options left. Right, and you didn't even mention Pomerantz and Pierce Johnson, who, when healthy, obviously are two of the key members of the bullpen. Are both those guys going to be on the roster opening day?
There is more certainty about Drew Pomerantz, who has thrown, I think, like three bullpens now and really was playing catch a long time, even though he hasn't pitched since March 7th because of forearm tightness. There's more positivity about him, certainty, I should say, about mm-hmm. him being ready than Pierce Johnson, who had the groin strain. I think it was March 17th that was the last time he pitched. He's done a couple bullpens, but don't have him scheduled to go in a game. And it's, you know, going to come down to the end for whether Pierce Johnson will be in the bullpen. So good catch by you. That's why I say, I knew that I was saying like, hey, there's a lot of questions here. I'm like, I haven't mentioned a couple questions, and Pomerantz and Pierce Johnson are pretty big ones.
Well, and we're looking at what, eight relievers?
We're looking at nine relievers. We just went with the three guys on the bench and the two catchers.
That's four guys on the bench.
I'm sorry, we went with the four guys on the bench. And so you have your 14,
so nine relievers. Okay, so we've got I've got my little pad here because I don't want to lose track. We've got Chrismat and Hill and Weathers and Melanson and Pagan and Pomerantz. That's six guys right there.
Stammen, Kella, and Adams.
Okay. I was gonna say I thought that it was interesting that Jeff's roster deal the other day, when he first filed it, did not have Austin Adams on there. And then I noticed when he refiled it, he did have Austin Adams.
Because of that live BP that he threw.
Right. And so that if you have those nine guys, then you're leaving off Pierce Johnson because he's hurt.
Not feeling really good about that. And again, I don't know that people understood this because maybe it just got lost in the shuffle, but Pierce Johnson was hugely important to them last year.
Absolutely.
And so we're talking, whether that's the sixth, more likely the seventh and the eighth, if he's not, again, 100% after a catcher, relievers, man, they are just battling their bodies all year. And so if he's not ready to go 100%, I don't think he's going to be on the roster.
No, that makes sense. And then you've and that leaves Altavilla off. It leaves Taylor Williams off. It leaves Matt on the injured list. Javi Guerra on the injured list. I don't think I'm missing anybody else.
I have that written somewhere. The guys on the injured list. It's a fairly lengthy deal. But you touched on the guys that where we go into spring and the Padres are hoping that they're on there and they would be in great additions. Guerra, obviously, he got his command right. Matt Strom, for sure, probably been their most dependable reliever, in a lot of ways over the past three seasons. But Strom, my understanding.
Baez is the other guy.
They're so high on him and his results have been poor, but he's working on. So long-term, they believe that this, arm change where he's keeping his arm, his delivery shorter. They believe long-term that's going to make Michelle Baez the best pitcher that he can be, which is either a really super reliever or a starter. Short-term, he's having a little trouble with the command.
So does he go to the alternate side and wait for somebody to come up lame, basically?
Get some work and have it click. It comes in and he is what he was for time in 2019. That's the hope. Right. So a lot of questions.
And we didn't even talk about Mackenzie Gore, who it sounds like will not be on the roster at the start, but that leaves them. We've talked before about you're going to need probably 10 guys to start games during the year. We've got five to start with, and you haven't started Lamet, you haven't started Weathers, you haven't started Gore. You know, that's eight. That's eight right there. Baez could probably start if they wanted. So I think we're going to end up seeing all those guys at some point.
We focus, and it's funny because there's 162 games. It's 6 months, right? 26 weeks or something. We focus on opening day. It's huge, right?
Yeah, it's one game.
Dude, I think it's been the last couple of years. We haven't gone more than 2 days before there's a roster move. So that's exactly what's going to happen. And I do see Gore on here soon. They need to see more consistency from Gore. The last outing was, it really was. It was really good. Castellanos hit a bomb off him. I think he gave up two hits. I will say the Reds have some good hitters. They're not a good hitting team. They let Mackenzie Gore off the hook a little bit. See, these are the things that coaches and the front office and Jace Tingler and Larry Rothschild look at is, man, Mackenzie Gore got himself out of some trouble. Mackenzie Gore threw more strikes. He was around the zone. These are all positives. He wasn't facing the Dodgers, okay? He wasn't facing the Braves. He wasn't facing really good hitters who were going to force him to throw more pitches. Right. In the first inning, he started with two balls. Out, three pitches. He was out of the inning in five pitches. That's huge. Now, right. Like I said, it was his best outing by far. They see another one of those, maybe on Monday or something, then okay. I don't know, still don't think he's on the roster at the start, but we're going to see Mackenzie Gore sooner than later.
Well, and I think it's easy to forget that, you know, he hasn't pitched in a year. A year and a half, basically. I mean, August, because I don't even think he didn't finish that. They shut him down in August of 19. So he really hasn't pitched in games that matter since August of 19. It doesn't seem like it's the worst thing in the world that, and unfortunately, you can't go pitch in AAA games for another month either, because of how messed up things are. But it does seem like I think they can set up alternate site games. Maybe they can go do that against the Dodgers and the Angels and play a couple games against teams like that. And that would be where you'd want to see Mackenzie Gore, you know, pitch in a game like that.
That's why they're going to be in Arizona, even though it, you know, require a flight. And so that for their alternate site,
right.
They can also have a taxi squad and have guys close. But the analogy I'm going to make, because you make an excellent point, is it's not apples to apples. It's a position player different than a pitcher, hitting different than pitching. But everything I hear about Mackenzie Gore and everything I have seen is what a competitor he is. And sometimes, hey, you can be a competitor 724, 365. Sometimes you need a game to be a competitor.
Right.
You need to lock in. You know who I think might have struggled with a year off and the alternate site based on what I've seen and heard? Manny Machado. Manny Machado, he works his butt off. I always feel like I need to say that. I see it with my eyes. But this guy's a gamer. Did you see what happened when the Padres got to 15 games out in 2019?
Yeah, okay. We all saw.
Did you see what happened early in the season? Did you see what happened last season?
Right.
Manny Machado is a gamer. Say what you will, that's kind of the guy you want. But I can envision that Manny Machado might not have been entirely, engaged, might not have risen to his exceptional talent at an alternate site, sort of, which is what I've heard about Mackenzie Gore.
Mm-hmm.
So great point, Jay. Gosh, you were full of them today.
Oh, as were you, Kevin. This was great, wasn't it?
It's the best 29 minutes and 44 seconds I've ever spent.
Especially at some Marriott property in the middle of the desert where you can't wait to get out of there and get home.
How'd you know I was at a Marriott?
You're a sports writer. Where else would you be?
Is there another chain?
I know how this works. So anyway, enjoy your final weekend there. Have a safe drive back across the mountains in the desert, and we'll look forward to talking to you probably on Wednesday, and we'll do our little season preview maybe. And by this time next week, we'll be into the season. Be a lot of fun.
By this time next season, there'll be 161 games from going 162 and 0.
That's right.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you guys, everyone. So much.